Oh, here we go. The Miami Hurricanes have received a crystal ball prediction to land one of the top defensive linemen in the country. Is Justin Scott going to be a Cane?
You are Locked On Canes, your daily podcast on the Miami Hurricanes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday. I'm Alex Dono, University of Miami alumnus, longtime South Florida sports radio vet, and contributor to allhurricanes.com. Thank you so much for the everydayers who make Locked On Canes your first listen each and every day. It's been a busy week. It's been a fun week. And it just got a little bit more fun because last night, right before we were all distracted by the NFL draft, Steve Wiltfong, the guy that I refer to as the Grim Reaper, because if his crystal ball predictions go against you, that's usually a wrap, but you love it when Steve Wiltfong from 24/7, you love it when his crystal ball predictions go in your favor. And he snuck one in last night for 5-star defensive tackle Justin Scott to land with the Miami Hurricanes. St. Ignatius High School in Chicago, Illinois. Justin Scott, stud, 6'4", 310 pounds already. This is someone who hasn't even played his high school senior season yet. Not only is he a 5-star, he's the third-rated defensive lineman in the entire country per 24/7 Sports. And the way this is trending right now, Miami is apparently pulling ahead of Notre Dame in Scott's recruitment. Notre Dame has been the longtime leader for him. Justin Scott, we've talked about him on Locked On Canes. He was on campus at Miami earlier this month, the week of the spring game, had a very productive visit. To talk more about Scott and some of Miami's other top targets, let's bring in very good friend of the show, colleague of mine at All Hurricanes. He does great work all over Fan Nation. Brian Smith is with us. Brian, I know Miami's been putting in a lot of work on Justin Scott. I was still a little bit surprised to see that Fong ball drop yesterday. What about you?
I wasn't as surprised as maybe some others because, like you mentioned a moment ago, Justin took a multi-day visit to visit Miami. So obviously he has interest for whatever the reason. And he was at Miami last fall for a game. I believe it was October. It's not that hard to sell the greater Miami area, in my opinion. Once you get a kid down here, it's a lot of fun. And it's another big city. He's from Chicago. And they've recruited him really hard. I know that when I spoke to Chance Robinson recently, talked to him a little bit about his commitment. I asked him, said, like, which kids are you working on? He was one of two kids that he mentioned. And I assume that, you know, the Miami staff, that's a kid you recruit as a staff. It's not like the area recruiter and the position coach. And that's a staff deal. Because like I wrote an article earlier today on All Hurricanes, like 310 pounds, like you mentioned, but he can play strong side end at that side. He has unique physical traits. So his recruitment has been Georgia, Miami, and schools from all over for a Chicago kid. Like Georgia doesn't recruit Illinois at all. What does that tell you about his physical tools? So if Miami can get this kid to sign, he's a kid that's going to play as a freshman. That's simply all there is to it. Doesn't matter if it's 4-3 defense, 3-4, he can play any of it. So great, great sign for the Hurricanes.
Do we have any idea on his timeline? Is he someone who may decide in summer or might he drag it out into the season?
Both. This is what I predict. He'll be a kid that commits somewhere and still takes visits.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear that, but I'm going to call it right now. I don't care if it's Notre Dame, Georgia, Miami. I will be shocked if he doesn't take visits. He has too many schools after him, and it's just kind of the conundrum of recruiting today. But what, you know, I'd rather be the leader and have his commitment than not. So that's one way to look at it. But again, 310 pounds, can play anywhere along the D line, and he can be a menace. That's the one spot that I know, based on intel I've received, that Miami is concentrating on. T.A. Cunningham, another big defensive lineman, is a kid they're trending for, who's getting ready to transfer to Miami Central. Those kinds of players, those big body guys, man, you can't win without them.
Yeah.
And you and I've talked about this off air. That's something that Miami needs. I don't know how they're going to do it, but they need one more out of the portal for this next season, to be honest. Just a big body, 305-pound guy. You can't replace that. So if they could get Scott in this class, it could help them be a top five class again. And that is so needed. If you can get that at your need spot, man, that'd be great for Cristobal and the Canes.
I'd love a comparison, if you can give me one, on Scott compared to David Stone, who, and I'd love to land them both. David Stone is another five-star defensive lineman. Miami is recruiting heavily. I think Oklahoma are considered to be the leaders in his recruitment right now. Miami, though, is right there, top two or three. David Stone is an Oklahoma native. He plays at IMG Academy. He's not quite as big as Justin Scott. So is there kind of a comparison between those two? Who do you think would be the better prospect, or are they just so different?
There's some similarities. The number one thing about both of them, David told me the other day when I saw him at a lineman camp, he's 290. He's gotten up to 290. And I said, man, you don't look like you've really added that much weight. He was like 280, 282 when I'd seen him last. And he's put on some weight. He's just hit that, you know, that stage of his life where he's filling out. Anyway, Stone's first step, just like Justin's, is the difference. He beats the guard or the tackle or the double team, whatever, with his first step. And once he gets into you and he extends that arm, he was moving 320-pound guys around like nothing because he gets leverage and he gets into their body. And Scott kind of does the same thing, and he's even bigger. You can't beat those guys very often in obvious passing situations without two guys blocking. Again, that's why they're so valuable. I don't care who's open on the outside. If the quarterback's on his back, it's not going to be complete. So that's why defensive linemen like Scott and, of course, like Stone are so coveted. So I love his first step, though. Stone's, it's a blast to watch him. I think he's a national top 10 kid, maybe even top five. I've seen him several times. Maybe I'm a little biased because I've seen him some more. I don't live that far from IMG, but still, it's amazing to me how fast he gets off the ball and just blows by his guys. It's amazing. If I had to say the difference between the two, I would say Scott's girth, and he carries it well, makes him more likely to be a two-gap player as well. And that's why Georgia probably covets him as much as any D lineman in the country. Justin can play a true 3-4 defensive end or nose guard. Those guys are uber rare. Stone probably fits better in a one-gap and go scheme, which is what Miami runs. So it just depends on what you want, because they're both tremendous.
You guys want to keep it locked here. We're only getting started on this episode of Locked On Canes. Brian Smith, one of our recruiting experts, is with us. We need to talk about more defensive linemen. This is a really, really, I think it's going to be a busy class and transfer portal for Miami on the D-line. Miami's trending now for a 4-star D-lineman from a small town. You guys need to learn more about. Hurricanes have made an offer to a defensive lineman in the transfer portal. And we got to talk about Miami's draft prospects as well, because at some point tonight and tomorrow, you're going to get two Canes drafted in the National Football League. So you're going to want to keep it locked. We're only getting started right here on Locked On Canes. I'm only getting started with Built Bars. Guys, if you're looking for a delicious snack, you don't want all the sugar and calories, you need to try the best tasting protein bar ever, Built. You got to try this. If you're like me, you want to make healthier snack choices, but you don't want to compromise taste. I've got just the thing for you. Built Bars and Built Puffs. Built Bars are healthy and they taste amazing. Seriously, they taste so amazing, you're not going to think that they're good for you, but you've got to try this. What makes Built Bars so good? Well, they're all covered in 100% real dark chocolate, and they come in unbelievable flavors like churro. I actually ate a churro puff yesterday. It was delicious. Peanut butter brownie, cookies and cream. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. Only 130 calories, just 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 action-packed grams of protein. And now, you don't need to wait to get a box. For years, we've been telling you about ordering Built Bars at Built.com, and you can still do that with our code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off. Now, you can also grab them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right, head to your nearest Walmart today, or if you're close to a Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box with hit flavors like Brownie Batter Puff and Churro Puff. And you can thank me later, because I love me some Built Bars. Thank you so much for making Locked On Canes your first listen today. And for the everydayers, we're going to try to track down another Miami commit early in the week next week. So you want to stay tuned for that. We're going to keep talking recruiting. We're with you 6, sometimes 7 days a week here on Locked On Canes. And Brian Smith from AllHurricanes.com and Fan Nation is nice enough to join us. So, Brian, a 4-star defensive tackle that Miami is now strongly trending for. Like, Miami seems to have upped their efforts in recent days on this young man, and I think Jason Taylor is at the forefront of that. Artavius Jones, 6'3", 280-pound defensive lineman out of Blountstown, Florida, which never heard of Blountstown. I think that's in the middle of the stick somewhere. What can you tell me about this player?
Well, for the location people that are just curious, it's a little west of Tallahassee. It's off I-10, and it's a 1A high school. It's a program that, quite frankly, doesn't exactly get the same attention that, say, STA or Miami Central would. But when I flipped on the film of him a couple of months ago, I'm like, this kid's playing 1A competition? It was awkward to watch because he was mauling people. And, he's just bigger and faster than everybody on the field, so they could put him at tight end or whatever, and he was killing people. But it's interesting when you have a guy like this because the projection could be anywhere, right? He's not used to playing top-notch competition, but you can't teach the size and the frame. And much like Stone, I think it's a pretty good comparison. Physically, he's a lot like Stone. Big-bodied kid, but he has a great first step. Is he as developed as Stone? Has he been coaches might? I mean, Stone's at IMG. He's getting elite coaching. Probably not, but that upside is tremendous. And again, Miami needs DTs in this class. It's not any shock that we're talking about him. They need at least two, if not three, to be honest, in this 24 class. You got to go after this kid. He's in your home state. It's a position of need. And here's the bonus. If you get him, there's a really good chance you got him instead of Florida State. So I'd rather have him, like you talk about this once in a while. Not only do you get the elite player, you keep him away from somebody you're going to play against. So this could end up being a Miami-Florida State battle, Miami-Auburn. It's among those groups. And this is a kid that's going to keep adding offers because, like, again, when I first put on the film, like after three plays, it's like if this kid was at – Orlando Jones or Miami Central, he'd have had 30 offers already. It just took a little longer because he was at a smaller high school. But this is a really good football player.
And I like what you said about him mauling people. It's a couple of my listeners, like as of earlier this week is when Artavius started to trend towards Miami. And then people start to send me these highlight reels and huddle reels. And I'm like, whoa, that's violence right there. What he's doing to people. It's a lot of fun to watch. If you guys get a chance to pop in that tape. So from the class of 2024, let's take a detour into the transfer portal. We know a big priority area of need is, well, what we've been talking about, defensive tackle. Not only is Miami trying to load up in recruiting, they're trying to get one or two in the transfer portal. So I think someone who, this could both be a backup plan to Tywon Malone if Miami can't get him, but I get the sense Miami feels strongly enough about this player. They would take him even if Malone from Ole Miss decides to come to Miami. Talking about Louisiana Tech defensive tackle Keavy Rose, who Dennis Smith knows him very well. So Rose, Louisiana Tech, I know some Miami fans are going to see that and roll their eyes like, oh, we're looking at more group of five players. Like, how come we're not getting guys from the SEC? If Miami can land Keavy Rose, they've offered him. He's ready for the Power Five jump, in my opinion. First team All-Conference USA last year. He's got that size we've been looking for, 6'3". He's over 300 pounds. He doesn't have the undersized, situation that Gore and Branson Dean had coming out of the portal. And Keavy Rose had a super productive year. Obviously, first team All-Conference USA. 18 pressures last year. That's from the interior. 2 sacks, 24 tackles, 4 tackles for a loss last year. This is a guy who's drawing interest all over the Power Five. Anything, Brian, you can add on Keavy Rose and Miami's pursuit and just how badly they need someone like this?
He checks multiple boxes. Number one, to your point, Miami just needs size. It's as blatant and blunt as it gets, and nobody wants to hear it. But Miami got ran over a few times last year, and they're not exactly humongous up front now either. They need more size. They know it. This kid's 305 pounds, so he's certainly seen the dinner table. And there's a need for guys that can be playmakers. He got all those pressures. It is super rare to find an interior defensive lineman that can even get close to the quarterback. They get double teamed more. They run into other guys when they're pass right. It's harder. If you can get – I don't care where he played. I don't care if he played at Calgary State in Canada. They need DTs. sometimes kids go under the radar in recruiting. Look at last night's NFL draft. Three kids I'm writing about right now were all under recruited kids out of Florida. They got drafted in the first round. It happened. So I don't care if he played the SEC or not. What was the production? And they need big bodies. So if they could get him, and to your point about Malone, I'd take both.
Yeah.
You look, having one big body, you need four or five. They're just not in that position. Malone's a heck of an athlete, big time baseball player at Ole Miss too, but they need guys like both of them to rotate in and out. Again, you need guys to rotate a D tackle. It's really hot down in Miami anyway, so the guys don't go as long in segments. So crystal ball and Miami overall, they need at least one, and it'd be great if they could get two DTs just for this year that could go on to the NFL afterwards, because that would fill out a humongous need for the Canes.
You know, speaking of needs in the transfer portal, we've been kind of watching for the last several days Xavier Henderson, the Florida wide receiver who visited Miami. He's still taking his time to make a decision. I feel pretty strongly still that Henderson is more than likely going to be a Miami Hurricane, but he's taking his time, Brian. Listen, I can't blame him. Make the decision that's right for you. Do you feel that he's trending towards Miami, and how good can he be? Because I don't think he reached his potential with the way Florida's passing game was last year.
Your last statement is incredibly kind. Florida's passing game last year was an abomination, but
and yet their quarterback just got drafted in the top four.
I've walked by Richardson before. His arms are as big as my legs, so I've got pretty strong legs. But like, he's one of the most freaky athletes that I've ever been around. So like, he's Bo Jackson-esque in terms of physique. Like, it's insane. So I get it, but he's a boomer bust guy. As far as Xavier, look, he is an elite track guy. And I mean, not just like kind of good, elite. And he's 6'2", 6'3". It's not one of those 5'9 guys that's just shifty. He can go up and catch a ball over a guy too, if you're lucky enough to stay with him. Miami has an experienced quarterback, and they've got a bunch of other receivers that are quick, plus Colby on the, you know, playing boundary. You add him to flanker, you've got a full component. Think about where Miami was at receiver towards the end of last year with all those injuries out. It was crazy. It could just completely flip 180 degrees if you add Henderson. You would have the full contingent of slots, boundary, flanker. It would be tremendous for Miami. So I still think they are. I haven't heard anything different. I did hear that, you know, and like you said, it's up to him on when he makes an announcement. Their family is extremely private. So how that gets announced is the other question I have, and I don't have any answer to that. He might call Mario and say, hey, I'm coming, and not even post it. He's that kind of guy. So how we end up announcing this is something I don't know, but there's no reason to believe right now, at least, that Miami's not the team to beat.
So a couple things I want to get to on the other side. I do want to talk about the draft prospects for Tyreek Stevenson and Will Mallory, who they're going to be drafted in the NFL. It's only a matter of time, day two, day three. And yeah, I think it's worth bringing up five-star corner Ellis Robinson IV. I know he's committed to Georgia, but he's keeping that recruitment open, and Miami is going to be one of those schools that he's going to be looking at. So keep it locked right here to Locked On Canes. Thank you so much for making Locked On Canes your first listen today. To the everydayers, we appreciate you guys. If you can leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your pods, and if you're watching on YouTube, hit that thumbs up button. Make sure you subscribe to our channel. And if you want to get in on the conversation with us, basically 24/7, I drop Dono balls in there. We give you show updates, previews on what we're going to talk about on shows, and one-on-ones. You can join our exclusive Subtext SMS chat. The Locked On Network has partnered with Subtext, and we have a great time in our group. So if you want to join, I'm including a link in the show description below on how you can join our Subtext chat. It's also a nice way to say thank you. We give you guys a lot of nuggets in there. The first 14 days completely free, and then if you want to opt in, you can hang around for $4.99 a month, but completely free if you want to try it out. Brian Smith from All Hurricanes and Fan Nation is with us. So, Brian, let me – this is like Steve Wiltfong Day on the show. He's given us all our material. So, Steve Wiltfong, director of recruiting for 24/7, tweeted this out. about Ellis Robinson, number one cornerback in the class, IMG Academy. He's a Georgia verbal commit. But according to Wilt Fong, he has locked in an official visit to Miami, and he says two more schools have entered the mix. And the quote from Robinson is, "Going to be hard to pull me away from UGA, but I'm open to being recruited, and I encourage teams to take their shot." Okay, Miami's going to take their shot then, Brian.
First things first, been around Ellis a few times. He's a down-to-earth guy, but he knows he's good. And he's point blank. I like the statement that you just mentioned from him. Hey, man, you know, I'm probably going to go to Georgia, but I can't sign until December anyway. He's honest. You got to give the young man some credit. And the point about him being number one, his technique is the reason. Like, he's improved so much in the last year or so from seeing when he was like a sophomore to now. It's incredible. There's a reason Georgia wanted him, and they do as good a job as any team in the country at recruiting corner. So I'm curious to see what he thinks once he comes back to Miami. You got to remember now, we're talking about a program that just got four kids out of IMG. You know, all those guys are pulling on him, you know, Maui and all the big guys. You know, why not? You could never have enough corners anyway. I think it's going to be interesting. Miami, in my opinion, would be the most likely spot if it's not Georgia because of those connections.
Right.
The Hurricane staff has done a tremendous job of recruiting IMG kids anyway. Stone, another one we just talked about a minute ago. Why not Ellis Robinson? So getting him on campus is the first step for an official visit, and you just you keep recruiting him, like Justin Scott, like Stone, et cetera, some of the guys we talked about earlier. He's a kid you recruit until he signs somewhere else because he can change your program.
Well, here's what concerns me. I'm looking at him as he's the number one ranked corner in the country. On National Signing Day, he's going to get that phone call from Dion, right? So when he talks about it, he mentioned he's going to take an official to Miami. There are two other schools in the mix he didn't specify. I got to feel, well, you know what? Maybe it's too early for Colorado to get in because Dion's going to wait until signing day. But I got to figure Colorado's going to get in that mix.
I think Dion needs to worry about players leaving his program right now. I'm just going to let it be.
Yeah.
That's an article I'm going to write in September after they're like 0-3. So,
and their schedule, you know what? I've got to commend them for being bold with the non-conference because they have like a Notre Dame type of schedule. Like the Colorado, they don't have any cream puffs on that. They may go 0-12.
If they win more than three games, it would be a miracle. If they won two games, it might even be a miracle because the roster is not very good, first-year staff, and that schedule is not very friendly.
Yes. Okay, so before we finish things up here, Tyreek Stevenson, former Miami Hurricanes defensive back, Will Mallory, former Miami Hurricanes tight end, they are expected to be drafted. They didn't go in round one, either of them, which wasn't a surprise. Where could you imagine, and not necessarily what team, unless you do have a thought on that, but what rounds do you think we might see Tyreek and Mallory go in?
This is very unique, especially with Stevenson. He's the more likely to go early, so let's begin with him. He's the big, physical, good tackling corner that works better in zone than man. But here's the thing, like Witherspoon that just got drafted by Seattle – Pete Carroll has always run a cover two, cover three scheme, you know, some press man here or there, but he likes his own guys. I thought that would be the perfect fit, but they just took Witherspoon with a fifth freaking selection of the draft. Would they take Stevenson in the second round? That was going to be my, like the team I projected, but then they took him. I'm like, okay, now I don't know, but it's going to be a team for him that probably plays more zone than man. That's first thing. Second half of the second round is my projection, somewhere between like pick 45 and in the end of the second round. He fits all the boxes in terms of physicality. He's 210, give or take. He can really run. And again, he's a pretty good tackler. And that's what zone defense is supposed to do, keep everything in front of you, make the team earn their way down the field. It's been around forever. I think he'll go late second round. As for our big fella, Mr. Mallory, I'm predicting sixth round. I think he's a little bit undervalued. I mean, he was really good at the combine. He outran, well, Michael Mayer, for one. A lot of people think he'll be the first tight end off the board and, you know, had him number one and this and that. All these guys, tight ends, it's hard to project because it's more niche. But his stats were tremendous. He's just not maybe as good a blocker as some other guys. So I'm projecting him in the sixth round, but if he goes to the right team, because Mallory's hands are so good and he's such a good route runner and everything, he could be a guy that plays right away and be that flex tight end for any number of teams. So I wouldn't even begin to venture a guess on the team, but around the sixth round for Will Mallory.
I love it. And I will let our listeners and viewers know, during the fourth through seventh rounds on Saturday, I'm going to be doing basically a five-hour marathon radio show on 560 WQAM, going through the late rounds live. We're going to be there for the Will Mallory pick more than likely. Hopefully Tyreek is already off the board tonight, but I'm going to be doing 5 hours of radio from noon until five tomorrow. So we'll certainly talk about Will Mallory, who's probably still going to be on the board at that point. And so with me doing marathon radio tomorrow, probably our next Locked On Canes episode is going to be on Sunday. So stay tuned for Sunday. We will talk to you guys then. Thanks so much to Brian Smith. Make sure you follow him at @FBScout_Florida. And we will talk to you guys next time on another episode of Locked On Canes, part of the awesome Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.